Your Locked On Canadiens, your daily podcast on the Montreal Canadiens. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hi there, everyone, and welcome to episode 451 of Locked On Canadiens. My name is Laura Saba, also known as The Active Stick, and I'm one of your hosts, and I'm joined, as always, by the wonderful Scott Matla of Habs Eyes on the Prize. And today we have a special crossover. It is part one of a two-part crossover with Armando Velez of Locked On Panthers. And in the first part, we talk a little bit about the Florida Panthers, expectations for them, and how the division shakes out from their perspective. As you know, Florida is going to be one of the Canadiens' rivals this season because the divisions are realigned and Florida had a great surge last year to really take a step forward and get a lot better. And they've got an exciting future, whereas the Canadiens will be fighting for a playoff spot. So it was really important, I think, to get each other's perspectives on each other's teams. So part one is coming up in just one moment. It is mostly about the Florida Panthers. And then part two tomorrow will be where we discuss the Montreal Canadiens. We tell Armando and the Florida Panthers listeners about the Canadiens, what we expect, and how the division shakes out from the Canadiens' perspective. We're very excited, so stay tuned. The conversation is next. So we're here, Locked On Canadiens and Locked On Florida Panthers, and we're doing a division crossover. So we figured today we're going to talk about the Florida Panthers and how they're doing and their expectations. And then tomorrow we're going to turn it over around and talk about the Habs, but it's a crossover. So hopefully both sets of listeners will get some good perspective from each other's notes. So thank you so much, first of all, for joining us and giving us all this information. Why don't we start with what was last season's story for the Florida Panthers? Set up what we're expecting for this season. Let's start with where they were and what sort of happened towards the end of last season and the offseason to set us up for next season.
First of all, Laura and Scott, thank you so much for having me on and doing this crossover episode with me. I'm very excited to be talking with you guys all the things Florida Panthers and Montreal Canadiens. But as far as the Florida Panthers are concerned, last year when the divisions were realigned with the Central Division, I, even before the season, because they made so many moves and a lot of pieces were just unknown. They hadn't played together yet. So I had it as like a bubble playoff team at the time, but then they just got off to a fast start. They didn't drop a point until the sixth game of the season, and then they just went off and running. Their longest losing streak in the season was three, and it happened twice, no more than that. And most times after losses, they were able to bounce back. They made a big splash at the trade deadline, getting Sam Bennett for 2 second round picks, who Sam Bennett was pretty much playing a bottom six role during his time in Calgary. And they were able to just get that off and running. Sam Bennett was very valuable on the second line, playing with mostly Jonathan Huberdeau and Anthony Duclair, with a little bit of Owen Tippett sprinkled in there. And The offseason moves as well for the Florida Panthers to set them up, though they did lose to the Tampa Bay Lightning in the first round, which many people argued that the Florida Panthers gave the Tampa Bay Lightning the biggest challenge in the playoffs. Some people will argue New York, of course, because they took them to seven, but a lot of people also argue that the Florida Panthers did as well. They were able to re-sign Sam Reinhart to a three-year deal at a $6.5 million cap hit. They were able to extend Sam Bennett as well for 4 years, $4.4 million cap hit, re-sign Anthony Duclair to a three-year, $3 million AAV as well. They were able to extend Carter Verhaeghe a year before he became an RFA, so extended him for three more years. He's still making $1 million this year, and he'll be making $4.1 million 3 years after that. and they're able to buy out the contract of Keith Yandel, who's still on the Ironman streak, who now will continue to have his Ironman streak on another team that's not named the Panthers. They lost Chris Drieger in the expansion draft. Alex Wenberg, the Bill Zito and Joel Quenneville helped Alex Wenberg get paid after a career year last year, and they were able to get rid of the contract of Anton Stroman with just a year left, because Arizona is just taking assets and money like it's nothing. And they were able to gift them a 2024 second round pick in exchange for Stroman to create that cap space to re-sign more players on the team. And they signed a veteran, Joe Thornton, onto the team, who is cup chasing at this point. He's had his many years with San Jose, making many deep playoff runs. Didn't work out in Toronto, and he signed with the Florida Panthers as saying, hey, I believe this is a team who is a contender, and I believe in these guys. And they're also able to re-sign Brandon Montour as well at a 3.5 cap hit. So those are the moves for the Florida Panthers as far as their offseason.
And I think expectations are worth talking about. So in our second segment, what we're going to talk about are, you know, based on all of this and the playoff series, which I wanted to say playoff run, because I've been saying it so much over the summer, but the playoff series, it was very, very promising what we saw. And that's coming up in just one moment. Does this sound familiar? You've got one device that lets you catch the game live, another that lets you stream your favorite shows, you're watching sports highlights on your phone, and you've got your neighbor's best friend's login for the good stuff. Well, I want to tell you about a simple way to get all of that entertainment you love without the hassle, and a great way to finally get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream, and it brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, so you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes and no need to buy another device ever again. And the best part, there's no annual contract. So get rid of the clutter and the confusion and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. Compatible device required. Content varies by package. If you've listened to any Locked On podcast, then you'll know that we are all fueled by Built Bar. Built Bar is a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. It's a treat that is low in sugar, low in calorie, high in protein, and always made with real chocolate. They've got 18 delicious flavors, and they've once in a while got a special edition flavor. Like right now, they've got the chocolate chip cookie dough chunk that is out right now. That is a special edition flavor, but you can always try their mixed box with 18 flavors and see which one you like. And as always, they will always be high in protein, low in sugar, and made with real chocolate. They're always going to be delicious. And if you want to try any Built Bar products, you can go to built.com and enter promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off your order. That's built.com and enter promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off your order. I think Joe Thornton said it best. This is a team that he feels has a chance to contend. The team's in a really tough division, though. We're going to talk about that in our final segment today. But let's first talk about the expectations. Where you think they'll finish in the division? What are their strengths and weaknesses going to be in terms of goaltending, power play, penalty kill? What are the things that you expect from the Florida Panthers this season? And then we'll bring in the division in our final segment.
As far as expectations for the Florida Panthers, they're likely, chances are on paper, they're in the toughest division in the NHL, just like the Montreal Canadiens, which we'll be discussing on tomorrow's episode. But the expectations have now changed based on finishing second in the Central Division this year, just behind Carolina. And the expectation, because they added a piece like Sam Reinhart, getting them via trade the night of the draft after, like, I believe it was like 12:30 a.m. the night of the draft, like the day, like the very next morning. So it's crazy because you now have three of the top four picks from that 2014 NHL entry draft on your roster heading into next season. All the Florida Panthers are missing in that one is Leon Draisaitl of the Edmonton Oilers. But I don't know how much draft capital the Florida Panthers have left to give. So they don't have a first or second in next year's NHL entry draft. But the expectations are now saying, hey, we're putting all our chips for next year, and we expect to at least not only finish one or two in the division, but to also finally win a playoff series for the first time since 1996. They now have the longest drought in the National Hockey League of not winning a playoff series, and they're one of two teams who haven't won a playoff series since the most recent lockout season of 2004-05 along with the Toronto Maple Leafs. So every team has won a playoff series at least once besides Toronto and Florida. So now is one or two in the division, at least home ice advantage in round one, at least, and to at least advance past the first round. That is the expectation for them. And I believe that one or two could be Tampa or Florida, one or two, which would mean that they wouldn't meet in the first round this time around based on how the divisions are lined up, and which we're going back to next season. So that means a facing of Toronto, Boston, or even Montreal in round one. So that would be something that the Florida Panthers would definitely look into. Of course, having the goal is home ice, especially trying to win the division, because of course they got home ice in round one against Tampa Bay, but they just ran into a better team. And we could argue about the Tampa Bay Lightning and the LTIR space all we want, but Tampa Bay was just better regardless of home ice advantage that the Florida Panthers have. But if they want to get home ice, they got to make sure that they really chase after it, because it means more. Home ice means more to the Florida Panthers, and I said this last season, it means more to them than it does to the Tampa Bay Lightning, because Tampa has been there before while Florida has not.
And so I think we're all kind of familiar. Whoever's listening to this podcast is familiar with what Tampa can do. But before we get into really the rest of the division and who's going to be the biggest challenge, what do you think will be the strengths? Like, what's going to carry them to that higher spot? It is true, it is a tough division, as you mentioned, but Florida is one of the better teams in that division. And as we're going to talk about a little bit later, Scott and I don't have very high expectations for a lot of the teams in this division. So, and some of those answers might surprise you even, but what do you think is going to get them to that step, whether they're one or two, they get home ice advantage, or even to make the playoffs? What's going to cause that to happen? And also what's going to challenge them on the way?
I guess injuries is the easy answer, but I want to go a different route outside of that, because I think that would be a cop out if I were to just go the injury route. So I would like to say that, of course, they're not only their top six, but their top nine on paper is one of the best in the NHL. And it's just a matter of getting the combinations right and actually showing out on the ice and actually doing it. And There's so many different combinations that you could put. It looks like that the first line, at least for opening night, is going to look something like Barkov, Verhaeghe, Reinhardt for line one, Bennett, Duclair, Huberdeau in line two. You just hear those names and it's like, wow, this lineup is stacked. Line three and down could be a little confusing, because Joe Thornton is signed with the Florida Panthers now on a one-year deal. We don't know at this moment in time whether Anton Lundell is going to make the team or start in the AHL. He averaged almost a point a game in his final season in Liga, and we don't know whether he's going to start with the team or not. Training camp does start on Wednesday, with practices starting on Thursday, so we don't know what that's going to look like. But it would be so exciting to see him there. And of course, the goal for Lundell is to eventually get him to the 2C spot, because both Sam Reinhardt and Sam Bennett are more than capable of playing the wings. So it just comes down to, after that top six, what's the bottom six going to do? Joe Thornton doesn't miss games. So he's gonna likely be the third line center or the fourth. And Noel Achari is one person who could also play center and wing as well. One thing that I talked about on my podcast yesterday was Panthers first round pick from the 2018 draft, Grigor Denisenko. He made his NHL debut last year, and he got 4 points, all of them assists. So he hasn't scored his first NHL goal yet. I've been officially on Grigor Denisenko watch as far as like trying to crack the lineup. He's played well on the international level for Russia, but is that going to happen on the NHL level for him as well? And he could play both wing positions. So there's a little bit of flexibility for Grigor Denisenko. And what's going to happen with, if Anton Lundell starts off in the AHL, how often is a player like Juho Lampikko going to play? What's he going to produce? And one player that I'm really high on because of his big body, his big size, he played on literally every single line last year. Mason Marchment, a guy that the Florida Panthers traded 2 seasons ago at the trade deadline for Dennis Malgin, who played on line one when Anthony Duclair was hurt and was able to shift down to the fourth line and still not produce as much on the fourth line because your talent is of course different, but the flexibility of him from going to line one to line four, and this guy can play anywhere, and he's very flexible. And Coach Q, he's known for juggling those lines. So when it comes to like the bottom six, it's like, how is that gonna, what are the pieces that are the combinations going to be, and how are they going to produce?
And I think another big factor that's going to be a determinant of where these teams end up, or where Florida ends up in this particular case, is the rest of the division. And in just one moment in our final segment, we're going to contextualize Florida's hopes for this season with the rest of the teams that they're going to counter. That's coming up in just one moment. We're back and better than ever. All eyes are on the gridiron as teams are back on to start another football season. As always, BetOnline is your number one spot for all the pro and college football action this season. With a new updated site and interface, even more odds, props, and contests, BetOnline.ag continues to be the number one source for everything football. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today to receive your 100% welcome bonus. That's double your initial deposit just for signing up. Don't forget to use our promo code LOCKEDON for that. From football, basketball, boxing, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite sports. And don't forget, for that 100% welcome bonus, the promo code is LOCKEDON. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
So we are back. It's our final segment here. And if you haven't heard me, I've been listening to this discussion, discussing all things Panthers and learning about our new divisional rival. And we're going to get to the Canadians in tomorrow's episode. But I have to ask our guests here, looking around the Atlantic and how strong the division is, how do the Panthers match up against these teams, like skill on skill, like against the Lightning? We saw how much fun those series are and how back and forth it is. I assume games against Toronto will be the same, but how are they going to handle a physical side like the Bruins or what the Canadians are going to do? I know they've got some guys in there who relish in that style, but how do they stack up against the rest of the division? Like, it's a killer's row of teams. And, you know, what happens if Sergei Bobrovsky's not up to snuff, or if Sam Bennett can't keep his pace? Are you going to be able to match up with an experienced group like the Bruins or a team like the Canadians that went deep last year?
I think so, because Sergei Bobrovsky's first 2 years here, I don't think could have been any worse. So especially year one, the year two was a big jump, which is a low bar. Not going to lie. I'm just going to be honest with that. It's a pretty low bar saying what his jump from year one of that 7-year contract to year two. And of course, the team around him was a little better, so that helped. But there was a lot of times where Sergei Bobrovsky gave up some of those head-scratching goals. And there's a lot of times where there was a shot from the top of the point, and you're like, how did this get past them? How did this happen? But as far as the rest of the division goes, it's easy to forget. It really is easy to forget when you haven't faced some of these teams in a couple of years. Like, of course, Montreal, Toronto, and Ottawa. The last time the Florida Panthers were facing the Toronto Maple Leafs, especially because before the COVID shutdown, that was the team they were chasing for like the wild card and the third spot in the division just 2 years ago. And they were pretty even. They had one more matchup before the COVID shutdown. And I believe, if I remember correctly, that Toronto won two games and Florida won one. So I know there's a lot of turnover in between then. And I think as far as regular season, Toronto and Florida could split the season series. I believe that. Boston's a confusing one because there's a little bit of turnover on their roster. There's a few new pieces like a Nick Foligno, Eric Halla, former Panther. They lost David Krejci, who's now playing in the Czech Republic. And there's the status of Tuukka Rask as well. When is he going to return? But I did like their signing of Linus Allmark from the Buffalo Sabres, who was like the only goalie on that roster who had a winning record last year on that really awful Buffalo Sabres team. So the Bruins could be in that top three as well along with Florida and Tampa Bay, or even Toronto and Montreal. I think it's just really five teams chasing three spots for the division. And unfortunately, two of them or even one of them might have to miss out. And as far as it's easy for me to say that the biggest threat to the Florida Panthers is the Tampa Bay Lightning, because I mean, they just won back-to-back Stanley Cups. Sure, they lost the whole third line, but the way that, even though the Florida Panthers had their number during the regular season, once Kucherov and Stamkos came back, that power play was just unstoppable. Sure, were the Florida Panthers shooting themselves in the foot by just giving up so many penalties after penalty? The thing is, they need to stay out of the box, first of all, and not get themselves in a bad position where they accidentally hook somebody or get beat, that they extend their stick and it ends up being a tripping call. And that's really what it comes down to when facing off against especially a team like Tampa Bay. And I think when it comes to matching up, I do also think they could match up well against Tampa Bay as well, because it's speed for speed. The Tampa Bay Lightning do have one big advantage, and it's goaltending. They have the best goalie in the NHL, and it's not even close. And the that's going to be...
Hey, really... It's close.
Okay, Carey Price is up there. Carey Price is up there.
We're talking about playoffs, though.
No. But I'm talking about, like, overall regular season and playoffs. But, like, how... Is Sergei Bobrovsky and even Spencer Knight going to match what Andrei Vasilevskiy has done? Five straight playoff series clinching shutouts for Andrei Vasilevskiy. How are they going to match up against that? And that's really what it comes down to. The people in front of Sergei Bobrovsky and or Spencer Knight, and the actual play of Sergei Bobrovsky and Spencer Knight.
It is very intriguing to me. Like, obviously we'll talk a little bit more in tomorrow's episode on the Canadian side of this, but the Panthers kind of went from an afterthought to being right back in the forefront with this past season. And if the biggest thing is, I guess my final question on this is, if anything's going to derail the season, it's not forward depth. The defense is in solid shape. Is it hinging on Spencer Knight being able to pick up the slack if Bobrovsky can't keep the pace? Because Chris Driedger's gone now. He's obviously in Seattle. Is the season just kind of hinging on what that could potentially be right now? Or is it something else that is the depth not as good as I'm thinking it might be? Is the big X factor the goaltending for the Panthers this year?
I would say so, but here's the thing with Spencer Knight. It's such a small sample size that we have. Only four regular season games where he went. Of course, he went 4-0. He didn't lose a single game until game 6 of the first round, where he was inserted after game 5. The Florida Panthers won game 5 by a final score of 4-1. And then, like I said, Vasilevskiy on the other end didn't give up a single goal, and they lost 4-0 in game 6. But 4-0 in his four starts, 2.32 save percentage, 9.19 save percentage. Excuse me, 2.32 goals against average. 919 save percentage, but he's young. He's gonna have his growing pains as well. The thing is, it's really easy to see how fast he started and not losing until game 6 to think that this guy just all of a sudden doesn't have any flaws. This is where we gotta like be a little level-headed here. He's going to have his lumps. He's going to have some growing pains. I mean, even before he signed his ELC in the NCAA tournament, he didn't really look good in his final game at BC in that final game. And we got to remind ourselves, he's 20. He just turned 20 years old on April 19th, just this year. And he was activated put on the active roster the day before he started a game. He started his very first game the day after his 20th birthday. So there's a little bit of perspective in that, but it comes down to the $10 million man as well. So because you're paying Sergei Bobrovsky the money you are paying him, you have to give him a chance. You have to. You invested so much into this guy. Sure, the GM that the Florida Panthers have right now in their front office, Bill Zito, wasn't the guy who gave him the contract. So you got to work with what you got. You can't buy him out because you still have Keith Yandel's contract on the books for 4 more seasons, with the majority of it going into next season, which will be the first year of hopefully Alexander Barkov's new contract. He's in a contract year. So you have 5 more years left. The play has gone a little better from year 1 to year 2. Can we see it from year 3 to year 4? I really hope that it's a 60-40 when it comes to starts in favor of Bobrovsky, because that tells you that your investment is somewhat working, that this guy who's 20 years old is learning behind a veteran. And Spencer Knight's mindset has been so great. This is something I raved about, and he said it doesn't matter whether it's the prospect showcase, whether it was game 6 of the playoffs, whether it was the regular season, he's still learning. And he's like, at the end of the day, it's hockey. And he's talked about how great Sergei Bobrovsky has been as a mentor, at least publicly. They say there's like no animosity between them. We don't know what goes on behind closed doors, but at least publicly, Spencer Knight is saying all the right things. But of course, you got to play the games. You got to see what you got. You got to see how the $10 million man does. And of course, Coach Q doesn't care how much a guy is making. Whoever's playing better is going to get the majority of the starts. And if it just so happens to be Spencer Knight, so be it. And he's going to put him there, and he's going to give his team the best chance to win.
I think that kind of sums it up for the Florida side. And tomorrow, what you're going to hear is a hot take, because Scott and I both think that Boston might not actually be good at all next year. And there might be a surprise in that top 4 making the playoffs. And that's going to be tomorrow, along with more Canadians talk. Armando, thank you so much for joining us. Can you please tell our listeners where they can find you and your show, and if they want to know more about your work?
They can follow me on Twitter at Monoman12, follow the show account at LO_Panthers, and follow the show anywhere you listen to podcasts.
Thank you so, so much. And don't forget to tune in tomorrow, where we're going to be talking about all of this from the Canadians' perspective. And there you have it. That is part 1 of our 2-part crossover with Armando Velez of Locked On Florida Panthers. Thank you so much to Armando for joining us. If you'd like to follow our podcast on Twitter, we are at LO_Canadians. If you'd like to follow Scott, he's at Scott Matla. If you'd like to follow me, I am at The Active Stick. Please subscribe to our podcast wherever you get your podcasts. If you want to email us, we're at LockedOnCanadians@gmail.com. And if you liked this podcast, please be sure to check out Locked On Bets. As the football season is upon us, you know you're going to want to get some good advice on where to bet and how to bet. So check out Locked On Bets and get all the information you need. Thank you so much for listening. We'll talk to you tomorrow.